Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
I never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me in any kind of sports in high school.
Welcome to the Orange is the New Black podcast. I'm your host, Ace Boogie, joined by my co-host, Zim. Zim, say what's up.
Hello, world. How's everybody doing this evening? We are post-OTAs. I'm still turnt, still ready to do this. I'm pumped. We got my man Luke. No. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
There's no other way to do it, and you're nailing it.
Okay. No. I just wanted to say that one time. Well, anyway, we got Luke on here. Big, big-time Bengals fan. Big-time SNL guy. Big-time just the man. So I thought it was really, really dope that he had some time for us, and I don't know why he's coming on our show, but I guess we're doing something right. So, Luke, talk to the people.
Guys, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Sim. Love y'all's show. Have been a fan from afar, have been a lurker for a while. But I tell you what, now I waited to hit you guys up until – after OTAs, which is right now, as of this moment, is the official start of the longest dead zone of Bengals news of the year. So now is the time for, Cincinnati comedian to swoop in and give his hot takes.
No, that's facts. And you're repping the new stripes. Which jersey do you have on, Luke? T. Higgins. Yes, sir.
Got the fresh Higgins. And I don't remember what it was, but when I bought it, there were the two options. There was like a get the new jersey, or here's one that's $30 more, get that one. And I was like, give me the expensive one. I don't know what's different about it, but I want it.
Facts.
You can't go wrong with T. Just let's get right to that, though. What are your expectations from the wide receiver core before I even get into the background? Let's go straight into the Bengals stuff. Let's just get right into it because, like you said, we got a dead spot. People still want to talk football heavy. What are your expectations from a reception standpoint, maybe a yards reception type of thing from our wide receiver core, particularly T. Higgins?
I mean, if you look at the breakdown of the targets last year, we had a pretty evenly dispersed top three. I mean, AJ obviously ate up a bunch of targets and didn't have the year that we all wanted him to have, but the dude still had like over 100 targets. I'm hoping that they can do a similar thing where they, you know, where we're seeing our top three best boys getting fed, you know, but hopefully we're not having to feed these guys 100 targets each. Like, hopefully we feed Joe Mixon a little bit, and hopefully he stays healthy for the whole year. Hopefully we're not having to sling the ball 60 times a game. You know, who knows? Maybe Zach Taylor will do this thing where he's like, oh, we have tight ends are a position. We can throw it to them once or twice a game. Who knows? You know, we don't do that really ever. You know, there's not a place for him. But I think our receiver core is so nasty. It's like I'm so excited.
No, that's facts, man. Everybody's been talking about the wide receiver position. I just went on AFC North Talk and talked about how the Bengals had the number one wide receiver corp in the division. They all agree. I mean, it's the most exciting part of this football team. They agree. They ended up – well, the only one that didn't agree, of course, was the Squealers fans. So, okay. You know, what are you going to do with
that?
Who
do you think? Who did he
said the Squealers. He said the Squealers had the number one. He said he had the third best wide receiver core because he doesn't take
I thought he would be like the Browns have the best. Like, I think the Browns are like the only one that you could make an argument for.
No. I got Squealers ahead of Browns, though.
Really?
I mean, Deontay Johnson has a lot of drops, but he's super dynamic. Then Claypool had an excellent rookie season. And then Juju is, you know, probably top 10 slot receiver in the NFL. So there are
Von Bell's doormat as well.
I mean, we got that highlight, but you know, like, I don't want to take that away from him. I hope people don't think I'm showing them too much love. I'm just being real. No. I think that
I hear you.
They got hella talent. In contrast, the Browns, had they just had OBJ or just one guy in the playoffs, I think they would have won the playoff game against the Chiefs. They won their first round, but
I know, but the Chiefs, though. But you're right.
Chiefs with no Mahomes. They had no weapons.
You're right.
They had no weapons. But, Luke, let's talk about Bengals and, like, how did you become a Bengals fan? Tell the people where you're from, like, that type of deal. And how early were you attached to the Bengals?
For sure. As you guys know, there's no reason to root for this team unless you were cursed to be born near it, right? There's no one who's like, you know what? I got my pick of the litter. I got 32 teams. I'm playing Madden. I'm like, let's scroll to the one that has the worst stats in Madden. That's my team. So, no, I'm from Westchester. Went to Lakota East. Shout out to the Thunderhawks. Point to the cam. Thunderhawks out there. We suck, and we always will suck. I mean, any Cincinnati sports, especially like for our generation, I don't know how old y'all are. I'm 30. I've never seen any of our teams do anything fun. But it's part of it, man. It's part of it. Like anytime, like I live in LA now, I've lived in, you know, Chicago and New York. And anytime I tell people that I'm a Bengals fan, it's like I'm telling them that I have a terminal illness. And they're like, that sucks, man. That sucks, man. I'm like, it's part of it. Someday it'll all pay off. Someday it's all gonna pay off.
Facts. So I was actually gonna ask you that. Are there any Bengals fans in Hollywood? Because they claim that George Clooney is a Bengals fan, but do you run into like any of them? Because I'm in Florida, so like it's hard for me to run into Bengals fans myself. But when I do, it's like an instant connection.
I'm the same way. I feel like I'm always on the lookout for Bengals fans. And I feel like I do a lot of stand-up. That's how I, you know, pay the bills these days, is doing stand-up. And there's a handful of stand-up comedians out here that root for the Bengals. I don't know. If I rattled them off, you probably wouldn't know them. But there's some funny people that root Bengals. But
send them my way. Like, send them my way. I want to know these people. Like, off air. Send me a list of some people.
Definitely. There, you know, there's dozens of Bengals fans out there. You know what I mean? Like,
so Gary Owen is probably the biggest comedian Bengal fan that I think we all know, besides yourself.
Hey, if I'm the high watermark, that's not a great sign. You know what I mean? Like, but I'll tell you what.
But look, Ace, when Ace said, "Do you know any other fans?" I saw you look up like, damn, like. Ain't too many of them, but you know, when you were talking about like the pick of the litter, we're like, that's why everybody looks at me like I'm a super weirdo, because I am not from Cincinnati and I am a huge Bengals fan. And
why
I did
you do this to yourself?
I did exactly what you did. Like, I don't know, I feel like there's so much pain, and I feel like my life is a little bit of, you know, it was pain, and it's kind of like a parallel, and I'm just living through it. And so, like you said, when you win it, is not going to be a greater championship than that because of the pitfalls of Cincinnati sports.
And the fun, the I guess the most fun team I saw was 2000 Bearcats basketball. That's like my favorite team. But
that, where are you from, Zim?
I'm from DC.
Oh,
well, yeah. He's like, what in the hell are you doing on here? Yeah, I know, right? Yep,
I mean, I wouldn't want to root for that team either.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, growing up though, when we're around the same age group, growing up, my parents had some killer ass parties. Like, because you got to think 80, what was that? 82? I mean 92. I'm tripping. Like that's their Super Bowl run. So I remember there were epic parties at my house, but it wasn't enough to make me become a Washington football team fan.
Tell you what, man. I've lived in enough cities now that I've seen, like, I lived in Chicago for multiple years. Like I lived there when they won 2 Stanley Cups. I lived 2 blocks away from Wrigley when the Cubs won it all. I've been in other cities like LA. The Dodgers won. The Lakers won during the bubble. I've been and seen all these other cities get to win a championship. And I was like, the only thing that I think was more insane was the Cubs. I'm like, I don't think Cincinnati would be able to top the Cubs, but I'm like, if the Bengals ever win a Super Bowl, Cincinnati's gonna burn to the ground. I'm pretty sure.
I hope in a good way, but yeah, well, let's have some contained fires
in a good way.
In a good way.
We'll be eating the horse poop and stuff like they did in Philly.
It's funny you say that, though. I consider myself a Capitals fan, and I was there at their championship parade. I'm not a big Nationals fan. I was there at their parade. Wasn't really a big deal for me at all. It was nothing compared to like a Cincinnati, what I imagine in my mind a Bengals, you know, championship to be.
It's hilarious that you mentioned that, because I actually had a stand-up gig in D.C. the night the Nationals won Game 7 of the World Series.
Hey, where, Charlie? Where were you at?
It was this little comedy club near, like, where the what is it called? The people from other countries. There's like a whole row of a million embassies. It's like an embassy row. There's a little comedy club that's like up some. It's upstairs. I forget what it's called.
Is it downstairs, the Laughing House or something like that?
It's something like that.
We'll talk about it.
But all I know is I'm not selling theaters, but I you know, when I do comedy clubs, I saw that there was like 70 refunds or something, and I was like, oh my god, what did I do? Like, what's going on? It was torrentially raining, and I got to the club in DC, and the guy was like, it's Game 7 of the World Series. No, like, no one's coming to your show. And I was like, that makes me feel better.
What is that like, though? Like, tell people, like, for anybody that's watching this right now that's never done stand-up, like, what are some of the things that I think when you get out there to a stage, is it better for a lit-ass crowd, or is it better in a situation where you could kind of practice some of your craft?
Oh, I mean, you always want a hot crowd. You always want, especially if it's a comedy club where people paid to see you there. It's always fun. It's always good. In LA, there's no harm, no foul. If I'm looking to try something out for the first time, working some stuff out, then I maybe don't want to do it for the first time in front of a paying crowd of people that are there to see me. I'll be like the guest that drops in and does 15 minutes and maybe is working some shit out a little bit. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm allowed to curse. Sorry.
No, you're good.
But I don't know if it's like a YouTube thing. You never know. Sometimes they're like, great, now we're demonetized. You know, whatever.
Just do it. Yeah, Null it out.
Null it out, baby. Yeah, man, it's always good to have a hot crowd. Like, just had my first club weekend back in Austin 2 weeks ago, and Texas is done giving a crap about the old pandemic. They're real done with it. So I was like, this is great. Feels like old times.
Nice, nice. So you talked about your comedy career. You're doing stand-up and stuff like that. You went to Ohio University. What, like, made you want to chase your dreams? Because Zim is always talking about chasing your dreams. You're obviously chasing your dreams. What made you get into comedy? And, you know, how is it, like, living out your dreams now, currently?
You know, it's because, you know, Coach didn't put me in at States. Otherwise, I'd be, you know, tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. But instead, another path opened up for me, and I was like, I got to hit this hole and hit it hard. But in college, you know, I went to OU. OU, oh yeah, go Bobcats, Cardiac Cats, Maction. You know, not a sports school at all. But I don't know if y'all have ever been to Athens, Ohio. It's a great, very, very good time out in Athens. There's It's there's nothing to do but drink. No one is above the age of 23, and there's two cop cars for the whole town. So it's great. It's great. Sweet. There's just no cops at all.
That sounds like they're ready to like get pull me over to meet their quota and get some tickets ready or something though.
Oh, there's always some bullshit going on, but around Halloween drinks, in Athens, but
drinks, exactly. Ladies, the ticket money, citation money for the city.
I got nabbed. Underage, and I was 20 years old, and I was a junior and living off anyway. But I was in school, and I was doing stand-up stuff and improv and sketch, and you know, kind of caught the bug, and I, you know, had a pretty good group of people there, and I got to kind of what you were saying, Zim, before, like I got to have a lot of at bats, you know what I mean? I got in college; it was a great place to just like get up a bunch, cut your teeth, be on stage all the time, and then kind of caught the bug and was like, where do I want to move to if I was going to try to take a run at this? And I went, initially I was like, I want to do improv stuff for now. And so Chicago is the name of the game for improv. Okay. That's like Mecca for improv. So Second City, you know, IO Theater, there's a bunch of big, bunch of big improv stuff going on there, and SNL always they come out and they fly out and they see people, improvisers and stuff. So I was like, you know what, screw it, I'll move to Chicago. And it's like the big city version of Cincinnati, you know what I mean? Like you move, you know, I grew up in Cincinnati and was like, I always thought of it as the city, and then I went to Chicago and I was like, oh, this is a city, this is a real city. I was like, not that Cincinnati's not a city, but it's like this is for real. But yeah, it was like, I love it there because it's got that Midwest feel and they love their sports. Like, you know, say what you will about Chicago sports and their crap, but they, you know, it's so different living in Chicago versus LA. Like LA, like I said, like the Dodgers won. I remember the Rams were in the Super Bowl when I first moved here. Nobody, you would never know. You would never right. know that that's because people don't care. There's other stuff going on. Whereas in the Midwest, it's all we got, baby, and we're bad at it. It's all there is to do.
in Athens, like, have you gone back there anytime, like, recently or whatever? Because, of course, Joe Burrow's from Athens, right? So what is that like being around, you know, like, around Athens, like, now? When's the last time you've been there?
So the last time I was in Athens was when I was moving to L.A. Oh, we were okay. driving out from New York City after I got fired from SNL. We stopped. My fiance and I met in college, so we both love Athens. You know, we stopped. We hit the main drag. You know, went to Jackie O's, which is like the craft beer joint in town. There's some good food in Athens. You know, for a long time, Athens was really cool about like not having chains on the main drag. It was all like ma and pa, you know, weird little spots. And so there's a lot of love in Athens there. But like when I remember. Like then, like Joe being in high school when my brother was in school, you know what I mean? Like, I remember like, but I just, the fact that he's on the Bengals now, that's like very much so how I assume Cleveland people feel about LeBron James and like Akron people feel about LeBron James, where it's like, that's how I feel about Joe now, where I'm like, nice. Dude, my Athens connection, I can't root for the guy more. Like, I love him already.
That must be insane, because I feel like he's like a family member of mine that I've never met. So I can't even imagine being that close to him.
What are your thoughts on Joe Burrow? Like, just obviously he's the biggest thing going on in Cincinnati. I mean, anytime he does anything, Cincinnati fans go crazy. What are just your thoughts about like Joey B and what his future looks like with the team coming back from the knee injury?
I mean, I've watched you guys talk about Joe, and a lot of what you say about Joe really resonates with me, which is like, even if the Bengals are not good this year, which, let's be honest, we're probably not going to the playoffs this year. We don't know. We might, but Vegas doesn't think we are, right? But guess what? Joe Burrow is our quarterback, and we're going to win some games that Vegas does not think we're going to win. You know what I mean? Anytime we have this kid playing for us, we have a chance. You know, we have a chance.
Every time.
I'll tell you what, I've watched this team my whole life. I love Joe Burrow. I knew I followed him ever since he was at OSU, you know?
Right.
And I was like, when it seemed like, oh my God, he's actually gonna like the cards are gonna fall in such a way that he is gonna end up on the Bengals, and I'm gonna get to watch this kid for hopefully as long of a pro career until we like burn it to the ground Carson Palmer style and he refuses to play for us.
That's not gonna happen.
But who knows, man? I mean,
no,
if history says anything. I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
It's a different landscape now. I think you're right. Never say never, but I feel like it's a different landscape. But continue your thought. Agree. I'm sorry.
I would agree, but my thought is it's hard for me to not look at my fandom, right?
Right.
And think like the day we drafted him, bought the jersey. I got a Joe Burrow old version of our jersey, which I feel like now is going to feel like a weird rookie card. Like, you know, that we got like the older version of Joe.
But you'll get a sign soon. So that's not it. It's coming.
Come on, Joe. Come on.
Joe's watching.
After him, dude, Joe's in here. He's in the chat.
I forgot his burner. We saw him in here one time, but he'll come back. Don't worry about it.
He's got multiple. He's like Kevin Durant. He'll like start a fight in the chat with himself and forget to switch over.
Right.
And,
like, he's the guy that says Baker Mayfield's better than Burrow. He'll write that just to. Just to see the reaction from it, but he does that often. Don't worry about it. Joe's just being Joe.
Joe's starting fires. But when we first drafted him, dude, I was like, we're gonna ruin this kid's life. And I'm like, and then like 1 year later, I'm like, we've destroyed his legs, you know, like but I'm already like, but here's the thing, I think Joe is gonna take us to the promised land. I really do. I mean, there's no way that we are gonna have Joe Burrow for. Like, if they don't throw the bag at him once his rookie deal is up, like, that's stupid. I assume we will. But he's going to win us at least a playoff game, right? Like, that's all I need at this point.
Done.
Like, I know. I want to believe. I want to believe.
I guess the one thing, just a couple of different thoughts that I say, like, on Joe Burrow constantly is that with Joe Burrow, you always have a chance. I say that every week I do a live. Joe Burrow, right. This is the thing about Zach Taylor that I even talked to Ace off camera about this. Joe Burrow instantly wins you 5-6 games if me and you, Luke, are the coach. In a 17-game season, like 5-6 games, no way like Joe Burrow. I don't feel like Carson Palmer ever had that type of push. As talented as he was, I never felt like that, even as a young Bengal fan. Like, I felt like he was super, super talented and he could be directed in the right way. Joe Burrow has a different type of command to him where I feel like he will make whatever the hell he wants to happen. I think the mental aspects of Joe Burrow, I said this on camera too. I thought that Carson Palmer, to me, didn't put it all together in college like that last year in college or whatever. Right. But talent-wise, arm, like just the size, stature, all these things, I thought Carson Palmer coming out was like a supreme prototypical quarterback. Joe, the mental side of it is the thing that I think is the biggest difference maker and the biggest landscape changer is that when we interview free agents or when we just had an interview with Mike Daniels or different guys like that, guys now really want to come here. And because you see in basketball, these guys forming like these super teams and stuff like that, that's happening now in football. Like with Julio going and teaming up with AJ Brown, that's exactly what happens when an organization could do right by somebody. And say, okay, we're going to allow you to go to a team that you like if it makes sense for us. And then Julio teamed up with his boy AJ Brown. I think you'll see a lot of that type of stuff with Joe Burrow that you probably wouldn't have saw before. But you're 100% right. If the Bengals don't always go pedal to the floor, you know, getting him the pieces, then yeah, it could be a situation like that. But I just I can't even see that.
I think Carson had the talent. I don't think he had the mentality, but I think that Joe can be better than Carson. Cause like when Carson was here, he definitely gave us, in my opinion, the fact that we could compete against teams in the division. Cause like, especially when you had the Ravens back then, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, you had the Steelers, Ben, Troy Polamalu, Joy Porter, we could go toe to toe with those guys, and Chad and TJ and those guys were also a part of it. But I don't think you had that with, like, John Kitna, right? Like, John Kitna, I always joke around, and people are probably going to kill me for saying this. I'm not trying to take shots at Andy Dalton. But to me, he was a souped-up version of John Kitna. Like, Yeah, he had kind of a limit. Like Carson could go to that potential next level. And I think Joe has that, but not only does he have that, he also has the mental fortitude that we never saw from Carson. Exactly. So like the way Carson would come back, and I'm not trying to talk about his health or anything, but the way Carson would come back from a knee injury, I feel like Joe would come back from that completely different with his mindset. I mean, Joe is out here walking out at OTAs, throwing balls, doing all kind of stuff.
You saw he threw the brace off?
Exactly. I don't even know what Carson
did. Y'all see that? He threw the brace off at the end of practice.
And the other thing is Carson had an amazing line. Like, imagine if Joe Burrow had the line that Carson Palmer had. Like, I'm not saying that I want him to have an amazing line. Like, right now, obviously, I think we have a good enough line. I don't want to take shots at the line or anything like that. But just imagine if Joe Burrow had that. Like, it would be insane. Like, if Joe Burrow even just had the Andy Dalton teams from 2011 through 2015, like, I think that we probably would have a Super Bowl. And, like, other fans look at me like I'm crazy when I say that, because I was on AFC North Talk and they ranked Joe Burrow last. And I'm like, there's no way that you can rank Joe Burrow behind a 40-year-old Ben that fell off with nothing. And they're like, oh, but your sample size is so small. But I'm like, we all saw last year. Joe Burrow is not normal. He's not normal. He didn't look like a rookie. Me and Zim said this off air. There was only probably two games that you could say that Joe Burrow really looked like a rookie. The Ravens game. And the Colts game at the end where he threw the interception. The first game, I can't
what
even.
Was that, the Colts?
I just looked at that game. He should have won that game. And, what, like, we outside of the pitch, the Gus Frerotte kind of play to the defensive end there. Like, he played amazing to have no preseason.
Right.
Like, that was insane.
Just if you guys are coming on late, we're on here with Luke Noel. He's in here talking and being kind with his time with us today. We're going to get into some Q&A stuff. But Luke, tell everybody where they can find you at right now before we even get into that. Where can they find you on Twitter or anywhere?
Yeah, hit me on Twitter. Hit me on the gram. Bigger on the gram. Luke Noel. I pop up in there. I got the blue check, baby.
Yeah.
On there.
Can you talk to hit them and give me a check too? I need a check.
Genuinely, and this is 100% honest, I don't know how I got that check. I didn't ask to get the check. Someone at SNL must have got it.
You're a star at this point. You're a star. Like, really? Listen, the day that you put the Bengals jersey on and then you go on TV, you're a star. All right.
So, trust me. I saw he had the Houdé shirt on. He reps us heavy.
Right.
He reps us heavy now.
So, you ready, Luke, to go into the speed round on some of these questions? We got some hard stuff for you in here.
Before we go, I got to chime in on the Carson Palmer and Joe Burrow thing, which is Carson really was my truest love, my first truest love that got me like believing that the Bengals might be able to do something. Same. But the way y'all were talking about it is true. Carson didn't, you know, I think Carson had played in a different era. Things have changed a lot since then. Carson had a absolute cannon in a way that like we've not had a QB that had an arm like Carson. He ended up getting hurt, not 05. I think it was 06. It was his shoulder, or maybe 08. Might have been 08.
Yeah, 08 with the elbow.
His elbow, and he was never quite the same after that. But, dude, there was a moment there where I'm like, I feel bad for Carson, not only because of the Bengals organization kind of doing him dirty for a certain amount of time. Like, I understand why he was mad, but the other thing that I thought of the other day, I was like, man, doesn't it suck that Carson Palmer and those great Ocho and like Hoosh teams had to play against, I believe, the greatest two safeties I've ever seen play football, who are Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu, four times a year. We had to play. I've never seen anybody since, or, you know, in my lifetime,
come anywhere
near those guys.
Timing in life, just like you were talking about being fired from SNL, is everything. And how you rebound from it is even more important. Let's get into this. T. Higgins the GOAT says vibes. So he's really feeling your jersey. T. Higgins the GOAT, thank you for coming on here. Xavier was very excited about it. He said, yo, y'all got Luke Noel on here from SNL. I wanted to make sure you knew that you were a star. Look at Luke vintage Bengals stuff that I can't get, so that's how you know you're famous too.
Fire.
Is that airbrushed though?
It looks like it. I don't even know.
Is it like printed, screen printed? But
oh, that's fire, bro. That is
that, and that's the Ace loves Tigers like that, bro. Like on some real, he's not capping just for the show. Like he really likes Tigers like that.
I've seen him as Apex Predator. My favorite. I mean, that's part of me being a Bengals fan. It's like it's my favorite animal, favorite team.
Luke, when we get off the show, I'm gonna show you the most fire Bengals hat. I'm gonna show Ace this too. I'm gonna show you the most. It's gonna take over the world this year. I'm gonna show y'all the most fire hat.
Jumping Tiger. Bring back the Jumping Tiger logo. That's,
you already hip. You already know what's going on. I saw a lot of questions. Ace, if you see some too. Somebody said Gary Owens with an S. His Gary Owen. I just want you to know that.
Somebody asked, one what's Owen. The vibe for Burrow in LA? Like, do people around LA talk that. About Joe Burrow?
That. Here's the thing. People in LA don't talk about sports. The minute I start talking about sports to anyone in the entertainment industry, they look at me like I am a chud. You know what I mean? They look at me like right. I'm like a total like wait, like clearly you're not from here if you're worried about that. I feel like
right. the only thing they, crazy.
Dude, they don't care. Especially
that's crazy.
Football. Especially they don't care about football at all. Like
I could tell. I was going. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The Bengals. Well, you know how they got the Chargers. LA got the Chargers, and they already right. don't care about the Rams. I remember going and seeing a Bengal game at the Chargers the first year that they were in LA, and it was like they were playing in the LA Galaxy, like 20,000 seater, like a soccer stadium. Dude, it was a Bengals home game. It was like there was like 10,000 Bengal fans there,
and that's fire.
It was wild, dude. It was hilarious though.
Going like, through the
but. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were just
no.
The Rams. Like one of my friends, he's a big Rams fan. But they go to games almost like how I go to a baseball game and just drink, eat, and really don't even pay attention to the game that much. Somebody says Zim repping the Midwest barbecue. Yes, I've been eating ribs. Midwest barbecue. Luke, if you're ever in Ohio, Midwest barbecue, check them out. I've been eating ribs right before Cameron. No cap. I eat. So check those guys out. Somebody said, yeah, it's good. You got to come. When we come to a game, we're going to pull up at Midwest Barbecue. What Bengals game are you going to this year?
So this year, so far, my bachelor party, because I got engaged, guys, got engaged. Thank you so much.
Nice.
Thank you so
congratulations.
Much. He's for married my to bachelor the money. Party, I'm married to the money, married to the game. I'm going to Chicago and I'm going week two.
I thought I got he was gonna say Raiders.
All my boys. I just bought a bunch of tickets for Soldier Field for Bengals at Chicago week two.
Okay.
I'm praying that they haven't benched Andy yet and woo! That I can watch an Andy versus
Burrow. You know what I mean? If you're an OG or if you said you've been lurking on us for a while, if you watched us in the Andy Dalton days of Orange is the New Black podcast, you would know that is a fire game right there because nobody talked probably as ruthless as we did about Andy Dalton.
Here's the thing. I mean, I got all my jersey collection sitting next to me. I repped an Andy in Chicago for years.
I'm gonna wear my Dalton. When we kick his ass week two.
Dude, here's a good one for you. I was in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for years. That's where I got cast at SNL and then moved to New York. But I was living in Chicago and I was walking to the Bengal bar. Snow on the ground. I got my earbuds in. I'm walking down the road. I hear somebody drive up beside me and yell something at me. And that's not rare. Sometimes people in Chicago will yell some wild shit. And I remember just like taking my earbuds off and be like, my headphones off and be like, fuck you, man, whatever he said. And then as he was driving away, I realized I was wearing my Bengal stuff and he had just said, Hooday.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, man, I just flipped him off and told him to fuck off.
You know what makes me so mad? You ever see somebody with Bengals gear on and you yell Hooday and they look at you like, what? You ever had that? Y'all never had that happen to you?
Reds hats all the time, dude. Every time I see somebody with a Reds hat.
Nah, it hasn't happened to me.
Happens to me like
I've had a Squealers fan. It was like, and
that happens to me a lot.
Really?
He pulled up like after we lost to them on like a nail biter, and he was like, "Weeday." and then drove off. I was like,
bro, I'm trying to tell you, I'll be at the gym, anything, like anywhere I go, if I see somebody with a Bengals thing, I'll say who they, and they'll be like, what is that? And I'll be like, what? I think people just, I have a theory that people just give away Bengals like apparel, and then people just put it on, and then when I'm yelling out who they're like, I don't know what that is. I just like black and orange.
See, what you just described, I've run into triple digit of times with the Cincinnati Reds hats, because people will just wear the Reds hat.
Bro, like, just because they like what it looks like.
You've seen the hat I'm talking about, I think. It's so hard.
It's the standard.
No, I'm about to show you.
Red with a basic. But then the B, but I feel like Bengals, the orange and black, it's a harder thing to match. Like, it's a harder color scheme. So usually when I see somebody with Bengals shit on and I hoodie them, I receive a hoodie in return.
Nandin said, hey, appreciate that, Nandin, for the super chat too. Hey, Luke, when do you think the Bengals will win the Super Bowl?
Hey, the Bengals will win the Super Bowl.
Anytime somebody starts up a sentence, hey.
You're setting me up. I mean, for me, my Super Bowl is a single playoff win in my lifetime. Like, that's my bar for, like, when I'm popping champagne and shit, guys. Like, it's just I do think Joe is the type of quarterback that could win us the Super Bowl.
I want to be young, though, when they win the Super Bowl.
I agree. I don't
like. Don't you want to turn up? Like, you talk about your guys in Chicago. Like, don't you want to mob up with the guys and really, really turn up? Like, I don't want to be old as hell trying to be like, oh yeah, back when I was 30 or something. Yo, you should have seen me. I would have been, you know. Like, I want to really get it in. Like, I'm gonna get you drunk.
I'm with you. I'm trying to not have gray pubes when they hoist the champion, the trophy, man. I think Joe will take us to the promised land. I think, though, it's low-key. Everyone loves, especially Twitter, loves talking about our O-line and loves shitting on our O-line. And, you know, I think we definitely tried to fix it, and I'm thinking it'll be better. But nobody talks about how bad our defense was, too. Like, that we were last in sacks, where it's like, hey, if our defense can be even slightly below average, if we can come in 20th in, you know, in sacks this year, that's a game changer, man. And you know, Jesse Bates is only getting better. Like, we're only you know what would be great? If we had a linebacker that anybody else in a fan of any other team knew the name of any of our linebackers. You know what I mean?
I see somebody post a LB1. Golly.
I mean,
yeah, I'm trying to think God, what's his name? Why did my mind?
Logan Wilson.
Why did my mind go blank? Like, somebody said LB1, I was like, "Whoa!" Like, you're pushing it, but like out here in the world, I don't think anybody knows our linebacker core. That is a very good point.
No,
that's a great point.
Zim, you didn't. You didn't. Right.
Just now, I just like I was about to yell out, "Owen Wilson." Who is the most valuable? Gary Owen. Who is the most valuable player outside of Burrow? Play Dry Burrow says.
Oh shit! I saw someone was making a knowledge pun, so I was trying to read that.
I got that one
back. I got you.
That was a good one.
MVP outside of Burrow is Jesse Bates for sure. I think he's the only other person that you could argue is one of the best players at his position in the NFL. I think you got to give Jesse Bates his respect. That on a defense that has not been very good. You know, you got to give him some love. You got to give him some respect. He's definitely the MVP of the defense.
Facts.
Do you think Jamar and T would be better than Ocho? No, go.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. Yep. Drop some knowledge.
I do. I mean, Ocho, people sleep on how, I mean, not Bengals fans, but fans of the NFL. Ocho had a very hot prime. You know what I mean? There was like a 4-year. He was insane, dude. So if Jamar
I would say
Chase,
six years was like you're insane. Right. AJ Green had 4 elite like seasons, and then a bunch of good ones. But Ocho had like 6, like where you say he was top 3, like no, without
he
a
led
doubt.
The AFC in receiving 3 years.
You might say he's top 1 if he, you know, had he gone to, you know, a Super Bowl or something like that. But you know.
I think Jamar and T. You know, I think what's actually really exciting about our wide receiver core right now is that we got TB locked up. mm-hmm. under contract for another couple years.
Yeah,
T. Higgins and Jamar are on their rookie deal.
Locked in.
These guys are going to be number ones on other teams. So we got these three guys right now for the next 4 years, 3 years. Let's go.
This year, and you kind of put this in my head a little bit, so I want to thank you for that. This year is going to be fun, right? Like last year was the Browns fun year. And then this is, to me, like, if you're a Browns fan, this would be their year where they have to strike and go all the way. Cause after that, they got to pay Baker after that. Right.
Yeah.
We're in the same boat. This is our fun year. 2022 is like our special year. Remember that. Somebody record that and send that to me.
I think though, one thing that is big this year that we haven't really talked about, which is like, I'm rooting for Zach Taylor so much. Every interview that guy has, I'm like, this guy, he just seems like a good man. You know what I mean? Like, he just seems like a good dude. And I'm really rooting for him. But at the same time, there's times where I like have to smack myself and be like, all right, I'm a Cincinnati Bengals fan. Would he still be here in any other city? Would winning 6 games in 2 years, would he have already been fired? I don't think that that's the wrong decision. But I have to remind myself, like, this year is the year that we would no longer make excuses, you know?
Answer that question for Luke, because I think you, like, I have a take on that, too, is really quick.
Who will lead the Bengals defense and interceptions?
No, I'm saying answer. Do you think that Zach would have been here, like, on another team, like, right now? Would he still be around?
Nah. I mean, we saw what happened with the Arizona Cardinals. That guy got 1 year. They switched him out with Cliff Kingsbury. Right after that. But I think, like, the Bengals are somewhat different.
Could be a negative thing, too. Right. We're the other swing of the pendulum, right, though. Like, we're Marvin Lewis for 16 years, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think because of that situation,
they don't have any coaches.
I think the Steelers, too, they're kind of organizations that stick by coaches. But I think anywhere else, whether it's, like, an up-and-coming team, especially when you got a guy like Joe Burrow, they probably would have pulled the plug after last year, especially with him getting hurt, you know. You know, he was the guy that essentially put the staff together. You know, he wasn't the direct guy, but obviously he hired Jim Turner. Jim Turner was the one that started the lineman that we had, and then that's who got Joe Burrow injured. So I think if it was another team, I think they probably would have fired him in the right situation.
The only reason
how many wins does he got to get?
But that's the part where I'm gonna play devil's advocate, and it's a little bit tricky for Zach in this regard. You can't discount the fact that they flat out tank year one. So it's hard to say, oh, how many wins did he? I thought about this in the car ride over. That's what's so crazy that you're bringing it up right now. I'll say, as hard as I am on Zach Taylor, and I don't think he's the greatest coach of all time. As hard as I am, I think it'd be like not smart, or it would be very unfair for me not to account for the fact that they did tank. So, of course, he's not going to have the wins from 2 years ago. Then last year, dealing what they dealt with and Joe going down, and I think around that 4-game stretch that they had where they were absolutely on fire, and I never met a Bengals fan that said anything bad about the offensive line for a 4-game stretch, thought that we were going to go to playoffs, all these different things because we were, like, approaching the bye. And then he goes down, gets hurt. Team did not just totally give up on him. They still play hard, and they still managed to have that amazing game against the Squealers, right? I think if – and then – and this is the last part that I'm going to say. I'm a little long-winded. Is that if I'm a higher coach
here for
like
all
that –
I'm here for all of it.
If I'm a higher coach, right, I'm a come into it, I'm going to give him a handshake, and I'm going to look him dead in his eye, and I'm going to say, look, for 3 years or 4 years – this is, I'm gonna stick with you, and I'm gonna give you a legit shot to get all of your people in. The only way I will, and I'll tell him this to his face, the only way I will deviate from that is if that everybody just totally turns on you and you just directly go against the grain, against the plan. And Zach Taylor, to your point, is a really good guy, and I think he's honest in that regard, where he wouldn't lie to Mike Brown or something like that. And I think he holds up his end of the bargain. But with that being said, this year is, it's make or break. It is what it is.
This year is big, but you hit the nail on the head when you were like, dude, after that Joe Burrow injury, the fact that these guys, that he didn't lose the locker room and that they didn't give up on him and that we rattled off some more useless wins to knock us down some more, you know. But the thing is, I'm thankful for it. Dude, that Monday night win, that gave me
– That was big for a lot of fans.
That was
big.
That was huge. A lot of fans.
And then it was weird because the following, like, week where we beat the Texans with Brandon Allen. I was like back to being mad that we were winning. I'm like, all right, let's win one. Let's beat the Steelers and then let's lose out because this looks best.
Isn't it crazy how everything works though? Because at the time we were all like kind of about to go back in the tank mode. Remember that, Ace? But then think about it. Like, I got my guy, you know, Jamar. You know, like, I don't know if you watch the show. I'm a big Jamar Chase guy.
I watched the Civil War, you guys. I watched it.
Okay. So I'm a huge Jamar, but it's crazy. At the time, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, we should lose some more games. But then the draft board started to pan itself. I'm like, shoot, it's all quarterbacks going right here. So, you know, like those games that you're calling useless, which was very funny, I think they might have some leeway going into the season. Let's answer one more question before we get up out of here.
Have you ever met Cat Williams? I want to answer that too.
That is the best question of the night. Thank you for asking that. The most randomest comedian that we could think of.
He's from Cincinnati.
He's from Cincinnati. He's from Avondale. Okay.
He's from Avondale.
Yep. Is he from Avondale?
I don't know. He's definitely never been vocal about it.
Has he ever watched football?
Never met Cat. Exactly. He's probably been a football.
He's like pimping, pimping football on the side.
Yeah, never met Cat. Never had the pleasure of meeting Cat, but I would love to. I mean, that dude's insane. Anybody who's gotten cornered in a bathroom by Debo, dude, I mean, you got to give him respect.
Facts. One last one before you get out of here. We always ask everyone.
Let's null it.
Hey, come on. Your top five Bengals players of all time. We need them, bro.
I'm rattling it off. I'm going with it. Pick apart my list if you will, but I'm trying to go off the dome. My favorite Bengals players in no particular order. I'm not ranking them. These are just my top five in a group.
Man, give it to us. Stop being scared. Give it to us.
Yeah, it's got to be top five, bro.
He's scared that we're going to be like, this list is trash. No, no,
no. I think, all right, if I'm going to go number five. I'm going to go Big Wit. Okay. Andrew Whitworth, you got to put respect on as far as players that I've seen play. Number four is going to be my one that I feel like people don't pick him, don't give him respect, but he's one of my favorite Bengals ever, and that's Reggie Nelson. I think Reggie Nelson was one of my absolute favorite Bengals players of all time. I love that dude. His 2015 led the league in interceptions. I love the all the way down to his butt. Hair. I love the guy. I love
him. One of Ben's favorite receivers.
Dude, Ben threw it to him more times than Le'Veon Bell that year. I'm going to throw out – I think I got to throw out Geno. Geno. I got a Geno jersey that I got blood all over when I was an away fan in Buffalo. Story for another time.
Wow.
Love Geno. He's a bowling ball, and he's unlike anyone that I – you know. Maybe Aaron Donald is the only person that I've seen that even plays anything like he plays. Whereas Geno in his prime, dude, I love him. And I hope we still manage. He hasn't landed anywhere. I hope we manage to get him back on a cheapy deal. There's a chance. I won't hold my breath, but I love that guy. He'll be in the Ring of Honor someday. One of my favorite Bengals of all time.
It's a crowded room. I'm going to tell you that.
It's a crowded room.
Crowded defensive line room.
Dude, it's hard to not go top two, AJ Green and Ocho Cinco, dude.
I'm not mad at that list.
I'm not mad at that list at all.
The Nelson one is a crazy unorthodox pick, but I could tell, like, you know, it's straight from the heart. And
Nelson was good though, bro.
I think that's a generational thing. I think somebody older would probably say Fulcher. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they're, you know, like one in the same, like in that regards, as far as like how valuable they are to, you know, you as a Bengal fan.
For sure. And I'm just gonna throw some honorable mentions out there as far as like guys I love that didn't hit my top five. Pecco. Gotta love Pecco. one of the all time greats.
Big Pecco.
Getting my belly dance after his sacks, dude. I love Pecco.
I do that every day in the shower.
Dude, weird honorable mention for Baby Hawk, for Andrew Hawkins.
Ooh, Baby Hawk was fire.
Baby Hawk is one of those guys you just got to root for. Every time he gets the ball, you just love it. Pac-Man, dude. Give it up for Pac-Man and Leon Hall. Pac-Man and Leon Hall.
Speaking of Pac-Man and Leon Hall, today Jonathan Joseph retired. So
you know who did that to him? Shout out to that to him. And then that Titans game. That's how Jonathan Joseph was on his way out the league. But you know, shout out to JJo.
Hey, you know what? Leon Hall probably had a better Bengal career. I'm reading the comments than Reggie Nelson. You're probably right about that, but Reggie Nelson, I just loved him, dude. He was so nasty. And he Reggie made so many clutch picks, man. There goes Joe.
I told you Joe was going to come with the burner. Cedric Oboehe, Bobby Hart, Achilles Smith, Gus Frerotte, and Antonio Bryant. Joe came in. So everybody, Joe Burrow's in the room now. Here he is. There's his other burner. Luke, you've been really, really good with your time. Tell people one more time where they can find you. What are you working on? What cities are you pulling up at?
For sure. I'm stuff's opening back up. I'm getting back on the road doing stand up again. Hit me up on Instagram. If y'all don't follow me, hit me up on there. I'm just my name, Luke Null, I think. I think it might be have an underscore. I pop up if you search my name.
You got an underscore on Instagram.
Yeah, I got an underscore. And then if you have anything that like a Spotify or anything, I got a stand-up album on there. Again, search my name. It's on there. It's called Guitar Comic.
Yes, sir.
I do stand-up with my guitar, so other stand-up comedians love and respect me. But if you're trying to hear some songs about my butt and wiener, hit it up. There's a bunch of good stuff in there. Yeah.
Make a song about Harry Nuts. I got a Harry Nuts gang, and it's a whole thing for Bengals fans, and I think that would be a great song.
Zim, you mean write another song about Harry Nuts, because I've got 6 or 7 already.
What?
Exactly. He's dropping the headphones. It's true. What? I got a lot of Nuts songs. That's another story for another day. That Chris,
are they hairy though?
Chris Redd
are they hairy?
Yes,
too hairy.
Harry Nuts gang.
You don't even know there's balls underneath there because of the amount of hair. They're obscured.
Oh my god!
By a ball throw.
This guy
tried to use a manscape and it got stuck.
Exactly. Separating the men from the boys tonight.
If you bring me on the pod, I gotta put my stamp on it and really talk about my ball fro. Yeah.
Right. Listen, I welcome that. I feel like if you don't have enough hair on your nuts, you'll never do anything special in life. Ace, please tell everybody how we close out every single show.
Make sure that you guys follow the podcast. Obviously, subscribe to me and Zim on YouTube. Also follow us on Twitter. I'm at New Stripe City. He's at Zim Hude. Also be sure to follow the Cincy Jungle Podcast wherever you guys listen to your podcasts at. Make sure you also stop by Midwest Best Barbecue. Be sure to hit up some of those brisket fries, some of those G-Funk wings. They also have ice cream as well. So definitely be sure to check them out. And of course, we'll end this with a yes,
Sirski.
Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
I never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me.